It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC Sports. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
Welcome to the Inside Carolina Coast to Coast podcast. I'm your host, John Siegley. I am joined by Sherelle McMillan and Sean Moran. Guys, for this one, we are going to be focusing on UNC basketball recruiting. There was a good amount of news that came out last week when the Tar Heels had the week off. So, Sherelle, let's just jump right into it, man. Coach Williams and his staff, they were on the trail looking at some guys for the upcoming classes. Just kind of give us an overview, if you will, of what went on in the recruiting scene over the last week.
Yeah, so there were two known Roy Williams stops last week. He went to Indiana to see Caleb First, who's a 2021 forward out of Fort Wayne, Indiana. And then the next day he went up to Minnesota, which has been a place that, you know, North Carolina's recruited a bunch the last few years. You probably wouldn't expect it, but they've had a ton of players from Minnesota. But he was there for Chet Holmgren, who is the number two or three player in the 2021 class, depending upon which service and the composite or however you look at things. And then he offered Holmgren basically immediately after that visit up there for practice. So those were the two trips that he took. You know, we've been waiting for them to kind of get a little more serious with targets and kind of figuring out who they're going to look at in 2021. And I think this was a good first step. Now that's four players with Carolina offers in the junior class. It's Kennedy Chandler, who is a point guard out of Memphis. And then you have Paolo Banchero, a forward from Seattle, Washington. And you also have Patrick Baldwin, who is a forward, kind of wing forward from Wisconsin. And now you add Chet Holmgren. So you can see they definitely want front court help in 2021, and they definitely need a point guard. So those are the two things that they have right now. And I think, you know, as time goes on, they'll continue to look for that.
So Holmgren is listed as 7'1", 190, plays the center position. What can you tell us about his style of play, Sean? Have you watched a whole lot of him over the last recruiting cycle?
I haven't been able to watch him a whole lot, but have seen him on TV. Got to see him in person at the USA basketball camp, which I think was his either first or second USA experience. And, you know, I'd heard a lot about him, had obviously seen the social media videos of him kind of crossing up Steph Curry and going in for a dunk, which went viral. So I was, you know, very interested to see him in person. And, you know, it's kind of interesting watching him. As you said, 7'1", 190, and you kind of have to do a double take when you say that. And he's even skinnier in person when you do see him. You know, at USA Basketball, you're bringing the best players from all the classes. And, you know, for him going into his junior year, he's still going up against, you know, guys like Dayron and some of the big guys going into their senior year that have an extra year in the weight room. And I thought he was just going to get, you know, pushed around initially. But the thing for him is he's probably one of the most aggressive players that I've seen in the past few years. You know, he kind of relished playing with contact when he was in the post. He was definitely, you know, seeking out contact, trying to bump people. Talked a lot of trash, which I thought was interesting. So he was definitely, despite his frame, you know, he did not let his frame kind of determine his personality on the court. From an offensive standpoint, I would say he's a stretch five. You know, he's 7 feet, but is very comfortable from really the NBA line shooting threes. He can handle the ball, but really spent a good amount of his time outside the three-point line. I think as he continues to get stronger, he'll continue to, you know, score in the post. He did have a few nice right-hand hook shots, but for now he's, you know, very comfortable shooting outside. Shot a very high percentage, I think over 40% in the Under Armour circuit. And at the same time, he had, I think, four more blocks per game as well. So, you know, he really uses his length to block shots and is kind of a unicorn, I guess you could say, in terms of how he's playing given his size right now.
So I would imagine that Roy Williams would also like to get probably that traditional post player, like the thicker guy who's really going to be fitting that style that we know Roy Williams likes. So with this recruiting class, I mean, looking at Caleb First, the other player, Sherrell, that you mentioned that the coaching staff went and visited, do you see him as kind of maybe filling that role, being that maybe a little bit more traditional post player? Do you think the staff is still maybe looking for that guy in the 2021 class?
I think they're wanting a combination of both if the opportunity presents itself, because we've talked about it, you know, on this podcast for the last 3 or 4 years. Roy Williams has been trying to find, you know, that Luke May type forward, the guy who can play some inside, but who also can pick and pop, pick and roll, hit shots from the outside, can grab a rebound and push the ball up the court. You know, that combo. Nasir Little, really, that's kind of the role he played. Even Cam Johnson, to some degree, played that. So I think he definitely wants that in his offense. Holmgren is kind of a different beast than those other players. He's very unique because the skill level is just so high for someone his size, but also he has just such a strength deficit most nights that it's, you know, it's just really striking. So I think that's part of it, is that he wants a combo forward, a Luke May type. With Holmgren, though, what he does defensively changes games. I think Rob Arrington had a great post about it. Like, he'll be a plus offensive player, I'm sure, in college, but he really is going to change games defensively. His wingspan is so long, and he's able to get out and block shots that most players aren't. So just having him in the post, having him there, will really help a defense. So I think Roy Williams sees that and likes that. First is more of he's closer to what you would call a traditional big. I think he's trying to develop his face-up game, and it's still a work in progress, judging from what most people have had to say. You know, I've only seen him once or twice in person first. But he seems to be solidly built, you know, a decent athlete, has really improved his athleticism. So I think there are a lot of things that are there for UNC to like. And I think that's why they went and saw him. You know, he's definitely an offer candidate.
What's your take on First, Sean? Do you kind of see him as fitting in maybe that more traditional big type player?
Yeah, I mean, I also think, you know, looking at Holmgren, one, you know, every school has offered him or showed him interest. So he's going to have, you know, his pick of whatever school he wants to go to. And, you know, I think it'll be tough for UNC to get him. First, you know, there's a lot of the Midwest Big Ten schools after him. I think he kind of personifies what you would think of, you know, in terms of a Big Ten big man. But, you know, I think it was talked about on the message boards, you know, where Holmgren is for sure one and done prospect. You have First, who will most likely be in college for a few years. You know, I think he's listed at 6'10", but you see anything from 6'8", 6'9", 6'10". You know, a left-handed guy, but very good in the post. You know, likes to operate mostly from the post with a little left-hand hook shot. And, you know, he can step out. I'd say he's comfortable from 15 right now. I think he's talked about wanting to be a stretch four, but doesn't have that in his game yet. So, you know, from operating from the post, I definitely think it's a little more traditional than a Holmgren. So it's interesting that Roy went to go watch him. Will be, you know, if an offer is coming, I guess it, we'll see over the next few weeks. But, you know, really when you look at the players that UNC has quote unquote interest in the 2021 class, I mean, they really need a point guard. They offered Chandler. Christian Lander is the other five-star point guard that they have not been out to see yet. And there has been talk about him reclassing. And then there's kind of a pretty steep fall off in terms of point guards. And then in terms of the big men, you know, the other ones that are kind of on the UNC radar, Jabari Smith is more of a, you know, kind of a, I'd say Jonathan Isaac kind of stretch four. And then Nathan Biddle is another stretch five from Oregon. So there's not a lot of, I'd say, true post players in that really top 40 or 50. Because once you start getting out of that top 50, we can kind of see, I should say, we've seen how that has worked. You know, and it's a lot harder to hit on those guys. So I think it's going to be very interesting over the next few weeks in terms of who really in the coaching staff, they're really focusing on from the guard and big man position.
And, you know, it's important because you just don't know exactly who's going to be on the roster, you know, when the 2021-22 season starts. I mean, if you start going down it, Garrison Brooks will have graduated. Brandon Huffman will have graduated. So that's two scholarship big men gone. And then it's a safe bet that at least two of Armando Bacot, De'Ron Sharp, and Walker Kessler will be gone. So North Carolina could be losing 4 to 5 big men at the end of one season. So I think that's why you're seeing a heavy emphasis early in 2021 on bigs. And I think you'll continue to see it over the next, you know, like Sean said, over the next couple of months. And then as you head into the April eval period.
Well, and it might be a situation where in that class, Coach Williams and staff tried to get someone that will be that more multi-year project player. So that way they don't have two straight years of a mass exodus in the post position. Guys, let's go ahead, though, and take a quick commercial break to talk about our friends at Giant T-Shirt and GiantT-Shirt.com. They are your place to go for Carolina gear. They are where you can find everything you could possibly want for the Tar Heel fan in your family. It is finally getting cold here in North Carolina, so if you need any hoodies, sweatshirts, sweaters, jackets, whatever you need that's UNC themed, you can go over to Franklin Street, where Giant T-Shirt has been in business for decades. They have the absolute best customer service as well. And if you can't make it out to Chapel Hill, you can always shop online at GiantT-Shirt.com, where you have the same great customer service, the same great selection. And also, don't forget that if you are a subscriber to Inside Carolina, you get 10% off of your order at GiantT-Shirt.com or there at the location on Franklin Street. You can get that 10% off code from the Tar Pit Premium Message Board or the Basketball Premium Message Board. So that's Giant T-Shirt and GiantT-Shirt.com, your place to go for Carolina gear. Sticking with the post-recruiting talk, guys, let's talk very briefly about Paolo Banchero. I have not heard a whole lot about his recruitment lately. Sherelle, do you have any updates on where UNC is at with him at the current time?
Not particularly. He just took an official visit, or I think he just took an official visit to Gonzaga. So he's already taken a few junior year official visits, and I'm sure he'll probably do the same thing as a senior. It's not one from talking to Evan and the national guys. I think they anticipate ending anytime soon. So, you know, North Carolina continues to recruit him. Hubert Davis has gone up there, I think, a couple times over the last couple months, and it wouldn't be surprising to see Roe Williams go up again. I think he went in December. They'll keep recruiting him. It's one of those things where I'm a bit trigger shy, because last year, every piece of information for a couple of recruits we got said that recruit isn't going to North Carolina. And that's kind of what we've gotten with Banchero. Considering both his parents went to Washington, he lives in Seattle. So people just naturally assume that he's going to end up at Washington. But there's talk of a Kennedy Chandler Banchero package deal. Those typically don't work out, but there's talk of it. So that's something to monitor. And then he does have some familial connections to the state of North Carolina. North Carolina has a puncher's chance. They're in it. They made his list. They got an official visit, and really that's all you can ask for.
And then looking at the rest of the power forwards that Sean mentioned, Jabari Smith and then Nathan Biddle, sticking with you for just a second, Sherelle, if UNC moves on from Banchero, do you think that an offer could come to either Smith or Biddle, or do you think that the staff could look a little bit further down the line?
Yeah, I think it'll be a bit of both. I think they'll be judicious with offers here prior to the eval period, and then I think you'll see after the eval period a couple, and then I think after the NBPA camp in June, as well as the high school live period in June, I think you'll see a couple more. And then in July, I think you'll see a couple more. So they have the good thing about this new calendar is that there are opportunities in outside of April and July to see players. Now, there's not as many, but you can see players in April, you can see players in June, and now you can see players in July. So I think after each one of those periods that North Carolina will probably put out a few more offers in 2021.
Turn now to the recruiting talk about the point guard, combo guard, wings. Sean, where do you think UNC is at on that front? I mean, you both have talked about how they've offered five-star point guard Kennedy Chandler, but clearly the net is still being cast. So, you know, what's kind of the update? What's the talk that you're hearing right now as far as that goes?
Well, I think the main thing will be to see if they do decide to do anything with Lander. I think there was, you know, a little bit of noise back in December that Roy was going to be able to watch one of his games against Caleb Love, but that didn't work out. Part of it was timing, and as I said, there have been rumors about him reclassing. So we'll see, you know, what happens with that. But I would say he would be next up on the list. And then really from a point guard perspective, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see really, you know, as Sherelle mentioned, see how things start to shake out in April. I think right now the point guard class is pretty weak in 2021 outside of those two. But, you know, anytime the AAU season starts up, there's going to be guys that you haven't heard that much of that go shooting up the rankings. And, you know, there could be a guard that catches Roy's eye during some of the EYBL or Adidas or Under Armour tournaments. So I would say Lander might be the next one up from a point guard perspective. But then after that, I would be surprised if there's any significant movement until the April period. And then from a wing perspective, a lot more wings out there, but Harrison Ingram from Dallas will be taking a unofficial visit for the BC game coming up. And I know, you know, we've talked about him a few times on here. So there's him, and then it'll be interesting to see, you know, who else comes to focus. Right now, Roy and Coach Robinson are up in Massachusetts watching the Hall of Fame Classic today. So they got to see Dayron and Puff, and, you know, maybe some of the other guys caught their eye. Not sure if they'll be there tomorrow, but a lot of the top teams are playing tomorrow as well. So that could just give them another evaluation point to see who they want to focus on next.
And the point guard thing is why it was very crucial that they were able to sign RJ Davis in 2020, just because it gives them a little bit of insurance in case there's not something they like in 2021 from the point guard spot, or if there's an injury to one of the current players, or if somebody doesn't develop the way they want, you know, he kind of helps them in that he, you know, slots as a multi-year player. And even though he might not be, people right now see him as more of a scorer, I think he can play point guard at the college level. You know, I think it'll be a different type of point guard than maybe people are used to, but I think he can play the position. So having him already in the fold kind of gives them some insurance, you know, some just in case for 2021 if they don't find anything that they like.
So what's up next as far as the recruiting kind of cycle goes, Sherelle? Do you think that the coaching staff will kind of be quiet until that April period that Sean mentioned? Or do you think that there could be a couple maybe viewings by Coach Williams or the assistant coaches over the next week or month or so?
I forgot to mention, Steve Robinson was down in Concord, North Carolina, to see primarily to see Jaden Bradley, who is the nation's top ranked point guard in the 2022 class. So just something to note. But, you know, Roy Williams always talks about how recruiting is cathartic for him. So the way the season has gone, you know, he needs a bit of it. He needs a lot of it. And so I could see him from here on out taking a few more recruiting trips than normal, just to get out and, you know, channel his energy somewhere positive. So he always recruits in season, and I think you'll continue to see him do it again this year. Then the grad transfer market will start to heat up in March. I don't know how active North Carolina will be in that this season. And then in April is when the open evaluation period, which is for non-scholastic events, you know, AKA AAU, grassroots, whatever you want to call it, is in April. So they can hit the road, see guys there. And then with the schedule change, I believe it's the week after, they can actually do in-home visits with players in 2021 and offers and everything. So that's when stuff will really start to heat up, is I would say late March, early April. Between that, it's just going to be visits to high schools, visits to games, and that sort of thing.
All right, guys, let's go ahead and wrap up the podcast with providing an update on some of UNC's commits in the 2020 class. So what's been going on with those guys, Sean? Any recent games that you have viewed?
Sure. Well, Montverde just took down IMG Academy again, so that was a battle of two top 10 teams. Although, you know, top 10 teams in high school is a lot different than the college season, where there is a dominant team, and, you know, I don't see anybody really beating Montverde with how much talent they have. So I think for this in this game, Dayron finished with 7-12 or something right around that. But you know, if he was playing on any other team, he'd be averaging 20-12. So I think for him, I continue to enjoy watching him play. He had kind of a rim rattling two-hand dunk in the last 2 minutes that kind of showcased a little bit of his improved athleticism. So I know he played well. We'll let Sherrill talk a little bit more about Puff Johnson. Did not see the Hillcrest game, but it's a little difficult to watch any Hillcrest game, I would say, right now. And not to go too far off tangent, but, with Dayron, I think it'll be interesting. We're talking about, how many of the bigs are left. And, while a lot of the younger guys, I think, are looking, at the G League as though that's a better opportunity than it was. With Dayron, he has a 7'4 wingspan, so he has the length. But in terms of just how the NBA is going, he's kind of, maybe not the prototypical big, at least right now, that teams are looking for. So in my mind, I think that is a positive for UNC, where he might be, at school maybe a little longer than what we're anticipating. But at the same time, you don't want to be left, with nothing. So obviously understand the need for bigs going forward.
All right. Well, Sean kind of set you up there, Sherrill, about Puff Johnson. What can you tell us about his high school season so far?
It's been up and down. And I think a large part of that is because his school situation is a mess. And I don't say that lightly. They've now been, I think they're on their fourth coach is what someone told me today. And, they had a good stretch with the third coach. And then, I guess there were some internal issues and he's no longer there. So it's just not a great situation to spend your senior season when you're trying to develop and become a better player. Their team, if you watch them, they're not fun to watch. They are, I'm trying to choose my words carefully, but they are unorganized, to say the least. And I don't know if everyone on the team is playing for the right reason. Some may be playing for offers, some may be playing for points or social media fame, but it doesn't seem like winning is the primary objective for some players on that team. And that's just a tough situation to be in, considering, he moved across the country to go there to be a starter, to play a national schedule. And, I think he's keeping a good attitude about it, but it just hasn't gone the way I think that he and his family wished. So, it's a little bit rough for him. But the good thing is there's only a couple months left in the season and he'll be able to start training and getting ready for North Carolina. So, up and down season for Puff. Like I said, good couple game stretches there where he's hitting shots, but the way the team is set up, he doesn't get a ton of opportunities. He's just kind of turned into a spot up shooter, which, he can do more than that, but that's kind of what he is for this particular team.
One quick thing to add. So Martin Luther King Day, Monday is always the big day for the Hoopall Classic. And they're going to have 4 games on ESPNU with Montverde being one of them at 5 p.m. Eastern, so it'll give everybody a good chance, one, to see Dayron. But, throughout the day, a lot of the top players in the country will be playing. The game I'm most interested in seeing is at 1 p.m., and that has Sierra Canyon. So Zaire Williams, who obviously has a scholarship offer, going against Paul VI in Virginia. And Paul VI has a wing, Trevor Keels, that I know – UNC is aware of and has watched. He recently got a Duke offer, and I know they're recruiting him, but I could see him being a wing that Roy and co start looking at possibly down the road as well. So if anybody isn't working, ESPNU should be a definite top priority for fans looking to see some of the talent coming in.
Thanks for the heads up, man. I actually was not aware that stuff was going on. There's actually another topic that I wanted to discuss with you guys. That is the return of Cole Anthony. So let's actually take a very quick commercial break. And when we get back, let's wrap up the podcast with just a couple minutes about that. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow, now streaming on Paramount Plus, only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sanfel, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
And we are back with the Inside Carolina podcast. John Siegley here with Sherelle McMillan and Sean Moran. So, guys, Cole Anthony has been posting on his social media accounts, you know, talking about his imminent return. It does sound as if he is getting close to rejoining the UNC basketball team. But I think the biggest question right now is, how does his return really impact this season? I mean, he is obviously UNC's best player. He's the best leader of the team, I think. But is his presence going to be enough to turn this around and get UNC and back in contention for some postseason play? Sean, let's go and get your thoughts on that, and then we'll give Sherelle the microphone to wrap it up.
Yeah, I'm going to say, you know, I'm definitely, if he, as long as he is coming back, we'll definitely be ready and excited to watch him, especially healthy. I don't think we got to see him healthy the last few times he was out on the court, you know, going up against Ohio State and Virginia. So good to be, you know, good to see him healthy. You know, in terms of the season, I mean, right now they already have 9 losses. So even if they, you know, reeled off a, you know, a huge win streak, you know, I would say the season itself is tough to salvage, especially after, you know, losing the 4 ACC games in a row against 4 very winnable opponents. But at the same time, it could provide some much needed energy just to UNC and the fan base. And then on the court, you finally have a guy that can, one, penetrate and put pressure on the defense, create his own shot, as well as hit 3-pointers. You know, I think the question that has been raised from a Cole perspective is, you know, what is in it for him? The team's not going to make the tournament barring an ACC tournament run. You know, so is he just risking more injury or risk, you know, people picking apart his warts? I mean, I would say people have kind of now seen UNC without Cole. So even if he doesn't play that well, I don't think it'll really change anything. And at the same time, I think it could help his perception, you know, if he's able to play healthy and show off his athleticism and show off his overall ability, which we got to see early on in the year in the All-Star tournaments last year, that it could potentially help his draft stock a little bit. So overall, from a team perspective, I mean, in the long run, I don't think it changes much, but it'll definitely make the games more entertaining and gives them a much needed weapon of, you know, really a go-to guy that they have not had since he went down.
All right, Sherelle. Last word is yours, man.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's a boon for North Carolina to get a player of his caliber back whenever he does come back. You know, obviously they've missed him a great deal since he left. I think the thing he has to do is not try to win the 7 or 8 games that they lost back in one possession. Because, you know, when you're sitting on the sideline and you want to play, I could see how he's like, you know what, I want to come in. I got to show everybody that we're still a good team, that we can still do this. And that can cause depressing and trying to do things that maybe you're not fully capable of. So I think he just has to settle in and just play how he normally plays. You know, it would take a miracle run. I mean, he, you know, if he has a chance to be a legend, I don't think it'll happen, but he definitely has the opportunity in front of him. But, you know, long-term, it would just take him getting hot and just becoming, you know, the best player in the country over the last month for them to kind of reach, I think, the goals that they had set prior to the season. But yeah, it definitely helps North Carolina, gives them a chance pretty much in almost every game when you have somebody who can go out and drop 40 points. So, you know, it's a positive for UNC. I just think that there's not enough games left for them to make up for the time that he lost. If, you know, if he had missed maybe the first 7 games of the season versus kind of those middle 7 or 8 in December and January, then I think, you know, it's a different story. But they're so far in the hole in ACC play that it's going to take a Herculean effort for them to, get back to anything close to contention. The best bet is to try to find a way that they don't have to play on Tuesday in the ACC tournament, that they open up on Wednesday. I don't know that that will happen. I doubt it'll happen, but I think that's the best way, is to try to sneak into Wednesday somehow, some way, by getting hot and then winning, four games in 4 days versus five games in 5 days.
All right, guys, good stuff. We will go ahead and wrap up this edition of the Coast to Coast podcast with that. Thank you guys a lot for talking with me, and hope that you both have a great rest of your Sunday night.
All right. Thank you very much.
Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Where to go for your next Tar Heel gear purchase.
What's up, y'all? This is four-time NBA champ Andre Iguodala.
Yo, and this is his best friend, the Ohio State legend, Evan Marcel Turner I.
Every Wednesday, we drop a new episode on our show, Point Four.
We're talking basketball, business, and all the culture in between.
From locker room stories to some basketball analysis from those who've been in the game.
Now, it is a dude averaging 29 and 11. God, what'd it take to be an all-star?
A win. Subscribe to Point Four, the podcast, so you don't miss a thing.